Hello.
Hi.
Oh my god, it's so weird to hear your voice. I thought I was gonna be prepared for it, but like, dude, it's been like almost 10 years.
Holy shit. Wait, can I cut?
Do you realize that? Like, I literally left Alaska in 2010.
Wow. Your voice still
sounds
exactly the same.
Yours does too. That's so crazy.
Dang.
So anyway, welcome to the Flavor by Jessica podcast. We're totally recording, so like, you know, like, it feels so weird. Oh, it feels so weird to talk to you. Like, it's so exciting. Like, I was talking about it at work today, and I was like, you guys are going to be so excited when you hear the Victoria podcast, because we're just going to talk about camp stories, and it's going to be the best one ever.
Pretty much, yeah. I hope y'all are prepared.
Like, and then they were like, you're literally going to talk about camp stories. I'm like, you don't understand. It's with Victoria. Like, seriously, I remember us just laughing for like no reason.
Oh, absolutely. About like, dumb stuff.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, I miss it. I still think about like, because they have all brand new cabins now. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, they built all brand new cabins. I only know that because I was friends with Linda Lau's daughter all through high school. And so she took me there one time, like when I was older. And they're like nice ass cabins, like
of the course best. They are.
Like, seriously, we lived in like trash heaps compared to what is there now. Like, they're so cute, and they're like lifted up, you know. So like when it rains and shit, oh, it's just they're so cool. But like,
I still remember having to put like our clothing inside the bottom of our sleeping bags. So whenever we would wake up in the morning, we would
it would be warm.
And going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, having to like drudge all the way up that long staircase.
Seriously, I remember we used to like sneak up there and meet the guys at like a certain time.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Good times.
Seriously, I was thinking about this, like, I think it was one of our, it had to have been like our last year at camp, because I had like a long-term high school boyfriend at that point, which makes me sound kind of nerdy that I went to camp that long, but that's okay. And I remember, I don't know if I even ever told you this, but I snuck my cell phone to camp. And
I remember.
And you do. Every night I would turn it on at like right when we'd go to bed, and I turn it on just to send one text, and then I would turn it off because I didn't want it to die.
Yeah, I do have a vague memory of that. Absolutely.
That's amazing. Oh, seriously. I was like thinking about like, I mean, we seriously met so many people. Like, I mean, the only I still keep in contact with Rose every once in a while, actually. I talk to her, like, you know, through Messenger and all that good stuff. I haven't actually talked to her because I'm, you know.
You're a little far.
Yeah, you know, just doing the good old Wisconsin game here.
Yeah.
But how are you? What's, like, obviously there's new things in your world, because the last I saw you, it was 2009. So... pretty wow. Sure that your world has probably changed drastically since then.
You know, it has.
Okay.
It's been great.
So what are you doing? What did you go to school for? Tell me all about your life.
Okay. Well, I originally went to school for psychology.
Okay.
And loved it until I started working. And I was making minimum wage with a bachelor's degree, and I was kind of upset about that.
Yeah.
Nobody had that talk with me during school about like, hey, just so you know, it's not cracked out to be.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I spent 6 years in college switching like 10 different times before I was like, fuck this, I'm not getting anywhere, so I'm done.
Yep.
So I totally get that. You have to have like the perfect counselor in college.
Oh, you do. Yeah, and of course they're getting paid by the college that you're attending and paying money to, so it's exactly. Really not working out in your favor.
Yeah, right? It's horrible. Oh, I feel that. My sister actually just graduated this June, so.
Ooh, how exciting.
She did the, you know, whole college thing. She was the good girl. She's trying to get into med school, so, you know.
Wow, props to her.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's what I said. I'm like, I'll just live in your basement when you grow up.
Right. Goodness. Well, it's her funeral, not mine.
Yeah, exactly. So psychology didn't work out, so then tell me what happened.
Yeah, so I long story short, I moved to Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I decided to go to nursing school here.
Nice.
So
okay.
I went to nursing school for it was like a 2-year program, had to do a couple of prereqs before that.
Yep.
And now I am an ER nurse.
What?
Yeah. That's-
You have to have some sort of story.
Girl, do I have stories?
Yeah, okay. I want to hear them. Tell me. Okay. Do I want the craziest one first, or do I want just like, okay, just tell me what you want to tell me.
Okay. I'll tell you one story, and this should not be breaking HIPAA law, because this stuff happens all the time. So what's cool about Oklahoma is that we have like the rural accidents, we have like the farming accidents, and then we have like city accidents.
Right.
So it's cool because you see a whole host of things, just tons of things.
Right.
So I was on orientation one day, and my trainer, it's called a preceptor trainer. So okay. My preceptor was yelling at me over, we all have little radios.
Okay.
So she told me, she said, I was in the middle of an assessment with a patient, and she never pulls me out of a patient room.
Okay.
And so she calls me over the radio. She goes, Victoria, get to room, blah, 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 right now. And I was like, oh my God. Okay.
Right.
So I hightail it. And then like just midway through, she's like, Victoria, it's no one's dying, but just come. It's really exciting. And I was like, oh, okay. So of course, like all ER nurses, we get stoked about like seeing blood and guts and all that stuff.
Right. Right.
So I'm walking towards our trauma area, and I start seeing footprints of blood everywhere.
Oh my. See, I couldn't do that. I give you props, because like if I saw that, I'd pass out. Seriously, I would not. No.
Well, and of course you like acquire it over time. Like, that wasn't me at first.
Yeah.
But I was like excited. Like my like adrenaline was just pumping. I was so stoked. And all of a sudden I walk in, and this guy's leg was completely like, it was a complete like dismemberment. Like he had,
what?
Yeah. His leg was completely off, like up to like thigh area. And it was in a farming accident.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so it was insane. Like there was blood just dripping from everywhere. There's doctors walking back and forth. They're trailing blood in and out. So like,
right.
Or like, do not let a patient go back there. Like, do not let friends or family go back there.
It right.
And the cool thing about OU is that we're a teaching hospital.
And right. Okay.
So a lot of times you can, you know, if you're helping out, if there's reason for you to be there, you can, you know, start IVs or do whatever.
Right.
And so it was great. So I'm just standing there in awe, and and not, you know, not to say that this isn't terrible for the patient, but just like from a perspective, I'm like, holy crap, this is
right.
And so I'm standing there just mesmerized, and I hear my preceptor over the radio, and she goes, Victoria. And I wasn't responding. She's like, Victoria, you have to come back. So I finally am like, oh, okay. But the most interesting thing was it was a farming accident. And so there was like corn and grass and like all dirt and like in his leg.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was wild. It was wild seeing it. Everything just looked so disformed. I was like, what are these little like pieces of like red? Like, are those like chunks of blood? And they're like, no, that's like, that's corn.
Was he like passed out? So you could ask this, because I swear to God, if my nurse was like, what the fuck is on your leg? I would be like, what's on my leg?
Oh yeah. No, I think they put him out right away.
Yeah. Holy cow. I can't even imagine that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like so afraid when my sister starts having stories, because like she used to work at BioLife. I don't know if I can say that, but whatever, I'm saying it anyway. So she used to work at BioLife, and she would like just tell me about like somebody's vein she couldn't poke, and I'd be like, nope, I'm good. Don't need to know.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm happy you got it.
It's funny, because when I see patients, some patients, you know, like the patients that are old or dehydrated or like whatever, they don't have as good of veins.
Right.
As someone opposed to like who is, you know, young, athletic, hydrated, all that stuff, they have beautiful veins.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, because sometimes you can tell that people were just like playing target practice, because they have two IVs for no reason, one in each.
Yeah. Other. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think just like the little stuff is crazy. I'm easily amused, if you haven't noticed.
Oh yes, I have noticed. That's why we get along so well.
Yeah. Okay, so now that you're nursing, like what else is going on?
Oh man, I have a little food photography page that I have on Instagram.
Okay, so you can definitely tell everybody about it. Get your name out there. Let everyone know to add you.
Okay, okay. It's called The Funner Chef. It's F as in Frank, UNNER, Chef, CHEF. I started doing that a couple months ago.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. Oh my gosh, it's such a curveball. It's funny because I love cooking and I hate taking photographs. And yeah, if you look at my first couple of pictures, they are absolute shit.
That's so funny. I feel like I'm really worried that I'm going to think that, like, about the podcast. Like, I'm going to, because, like, my first episode, it's out. But I feel like because I had to talk to myself the whole time, I just rambled. Because, like, I was talking about myself, you know? So it was like 30 minutes of me just going, and then I like this, and then like, oh yeah, and this, like, and so I made my sister listen to it because I was all self-conscious, and she was like, you're fine, it was fine, it's a little rambly, but it's gonna get better. And I'm like, oh god, I hope it gets better.
Yeah, everyone's gotta start from somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You're so, that's cool. You're so like funny, you're so like humble. Like, why didn't you have someone interview you?
I don't know. Like, maybe the problem is, you know, I don't really like a lot of people. So, like, I feel like maybe this podcast is kind of weird for me because, like, it's a lifestyle comedy podcast where I'm literally just going to interview, like, my friends and my family and strangers. And it's, like, totally out of my comfort zone, you know, because I'm one of those people that's, like, yeah, I'm just going to sit at home and watch Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But also, too, like, I don't really know how to talk about myself to other people. Maybe that's why this will be so good for me. Because, like, you know, I can totally chat with people. But, like, if someone was asking me questions, I'd be like,
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I'd feel great on the spot. That's why I kind of want it to feel like it's, like, you're just easing into it. We're just chatting, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Well, so for all the listeners out there, me and Victoria met, how old were we, 7?
Oh my gosh, yeah, probably.
Dude, that was like 20 years ago. Well, for me, wow. You're younger than me. Even though you totally lied to me about your age for like how many years?
Oh, did I really? I wanted to be your friend. You were so cool.
I remember you telling me like 3 years in that you were like, what, you're 2 years younger than me, right?
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Wait, I'm 27.
Are you really? No, you're not. Are you lying to me?
Well, I just turned 27.
I did too in June.
Oh, I turned in October.
Did you tell me you were older than me?
I might have.
I don't remember. I just remember like 3 years into camp, you telling me that you had been lying to me about your age. And I was like, but why?
I was kind of a liar when I was younger. I'm not proud of that.
That's so nice. Me too, probably.
But yeah, I have so many good camp memories of you.
Aww.
They're totally wild, and I feel like we were those two like annoying girls because we would always be laughing and screaming about something,
dying laughing too. It wasn't just like we're giggling in the back. No, everybody in the whole camp could hear us laughing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I remember this was like one of our last memories, and it was kind of a sad memory, but I will never stop laughing about it. I don't know if you remember this, but so throughout our camp experience, like, they had more rules and more rules as
the school went on. Oh, God.
Seriously. And I remember our very last experience there. For some reason, we weren't well-liked. I don't know why. I thought you were excellent, but whatever. And so it was so funny because I remember we were going over the rules at the very beginning. And, you know, we would play tag and we would, right, like, run around. And I just remember the first rule was, like, no running. And I was like, okay. What sense, right, did that make? But all right.
Yeah, right.
And then he said, I even remember the camp counselor, too. I can see his face. Ooh. Mm. Oh. Anyways. So, and the second rule was leaving nature where it lies.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Yeah. And then the third rule was no touching anybody. And I literally remember thinking, how the hell do you expect us to play tag?
Right. And like be at camp. Like, literally, that's what you do. Yeah. Oh, God.
So I remember one of the last days that we were there, we were just like so upset with how things had like progressed.
Right.
And we were talking to like the head honcho, like camp counselor dude.
Yeah.
And we were just like, we were in tears that we were just crying. And he was so mean to us. He was like, he pretty much said like, I don't care what you have to say. It doesn't matter. Like, y'all are too old to be here. And I
and you. I don't even remember that. I feel like.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. you probably remember things that I don't.
That's true.
But so the funniest part was that me and you just went off the hinges. We were like, oh, really? So we started like poking each other. We were grabbing all of the rocks and like chucking them and like picking up sticks and breaking them. And we were like shuffling around.
I totally remember that because there was that game that we would play every single year where the counselors would hide and we'd all have to find them.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of me and you finding them, I think we just walked around and I would pick up a rock and walk a little bit and drop it. And I'd be like, I moved to nature.
Yep.
And like, we would just be like dying laughing. Yeah, that was so
funny. Yeah. Oh my god. I remember like tears were like streaming down our face and we were like so we were like crying and laughing and just like completely messing everything up and they were sitting there and they were like taunting us and they're like, you can't do that, you'll get kicked out. We're like, oh, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? You'll kick us out on the last day.
That sounds like exactly something we would do, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. I remember because you got your pump like the last 2 years, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because I got my pump after camp. I didn't even have one during camp, but
mm-hmm.
I remember that you would overdose. Okay, so for people out there who don't know what an insulin pump is, I feel like I should throw that out there. Insulin pump is basically just something that's connected to our body that gives us insulin. Insulin is what keeps you alive. Look it up if you don't know what it is. So anyway, I remember that you would overdose on your insulin after Linda would tell you not to, or she would tell you to like take a different dose, but you would take extra dose on smudgy nights so you could have an extra one.
Oh girl, you know it.
And I hated them, so I used to just give you mine. So like, yeah. You would be high and I'd be low. And for those of you out there who think she was high on weed, she was not. She was definitely just high. Look it up if you don't know what that means. So yeah, I remember that. So funny. Gosh, I was thinking.
Make me seem like such a little fat kid,
dude. Remember who was that one girl that? Well, don't say her name because I don't know if we can do that for talking shit. But you remember that one girl that didn't like any of the food, so she would literally bring her own food for the whole week.
Yes, and I actually know her name, and I'm not going to say it. And I didn't like her personality either.
That's right. She wasn't even a diabetic, was she?
I have no idea. Oh, she might have been like was she the sister of the brother who was
like a friend of a girl?
Oh, you're totally right. She was.
Yeah. I remember that. Good. Remember us just giving her shit because she'd be eating top ramen and we'd have to eat shit camp food?
Uh-huh.
Like, shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Taco night. Like, what is wrong with you? You don't like tacos? There's something wrong with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember.
There's that. And then, were you ever in the canoe with me when I flipped it?
Nope.
Oh, thank man.
You freaking loved that water. And I was a little bitch. I'm like, nope. You can go do your little polar bear plunge, whatever bullshit. I'll be over here.
Yes. So, oh my gosh. I love the water. And anybody that knows me knows that I love the water.
Yeah.
And my close friends know that I love to flip canoes.
Aw, you're so sweet. So it hasn't changed.
Not at all. And I remember doing it at camp. And they told us not to. Huh?
Was that with David?
No, actually, but I think he was in a separate canoe and then he proceeded to laugh at us when we flipped it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think this might have been a year was there one year that you weren't there?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I guess you just weren't. Yeah, you probably weren't at the beach then. That makes
sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so I got in a canoe and I was like getting in a canoe with a couple of friends and I was like, we didn't have electronics at the time. So, of course, we didn't have cell phones. So, I was like, everybody take off your insulin pumps.
Yeah, right.
They were like, excuse the fuck out of me. What? And I was like, secretively, I was like, we're flipping this thing. And they're like, oh, my God, no. Like, you can't do that. And I'm like, there's no rules. Right. In fact, they tell us how not to flip it. But nobody ever said, don't flip it on purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, so good time. So that's exactly what I did. It was grand. I had the best time. We were all laughing so hard. Of course, all the camp counselors were like, get back in here. And we were just laughing and everyone was laughing at us.
You can be pissed that you flipped a canoe, but how many miles hike did we get lost on?
Wasn't it 10?
See, I feel like I changed the number or something because I originally think I started at 18 and now it's gotten all the way up to 28 miles.
Jeez. I know it was 10 and 20 miles.
Okay. We're just going to go with that. It was between 10 and 20 miles. I do remember the helicopter though, because we were all like, I just remember it going above us and we were all laughing like, haha, what's that for us?
Have you told the story yet?
For us. What?
Have you told the story yet?
No, I was waiting for you to be my guest when I told it, because my guest that I actually will post tomorrow, my friend Courtney, it is her favorite story of mine, this camp story. Loves it. Thinks it's so funny. And I'm like, dude, I almost died. But it's so ridiculous. Like, I cannot believe the counselors could get mad at you for flipping a canoe, but they lost us on a, we're going to say, 20-mile hike.
Yeah. And,
you know, it was It was fun.
Oh my gosh. That's a great story. Do you want to narrate or do you want me to narrate?
You narrate it.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yep, because I definitely want your view on the wasabi pizza for sure.
Oh Lord. Okay. let me just get ready here. This one of these days was like you break out into like activities. So you get to choose what activity you want to do. And our dumbasses decided to go on a hike.
Right? And we never fucking went on hikes, Victoria. Ever.
Exactly.
Literally, we always did like crafts or the water. Mm-hmm. We like literally just randomly chose a hike.
Yeah. I think we got tired of like painting rocks by day.
Yeah, that's true. And making like geckos out of beads. Yeah.
Yes. So we go on this freaking hike and we start hiking and things are going great. You know, we're just like shooting the shit with one another, hanging out. And things are slowly going wrong as we're walking.
Okay. But I do want to throw in. We went to the first place. And it was, like, the shittiest little tiny hike. It was, like,
oh yeah,
a two-minute hike. So then they were, like, oh, we're going to drive you up the road. And so we're, like, whatever. So we all get in this van. We drive up the road. And we get there. And at the front of the, like, hike spot that they chose, there was this big, like, wooden thing. And it said, just in case you get lost, please fill this out. And all of us kids were, like, that's so stupid. Why would they do that? We're, like, making fun of it. And then we get lost. So anyway, keep going.
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember that. The irony in that.
That's so
wow.
Funny. I remember that because I was like, because I talked to David about it after, because I remember this was our last year at camp, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we were all stoked that was the one night we felt like it was like regular camp again, because we all got to sit together. Because remember when they started making the rules where you had to sit with your cabin?
Yes.
Yeah. Dumb. Stupid.
Yes. So we start, I remember like we started hiking and then we walked a couple more miles and all of us were kind of like exhausted.
Right.
And I remember we were probably like 5-6 miles in, like the point of no turnaround, because mind you, as we're walking, people's blood sugars are going low left and right.
Right.
So, I mean, like glucose tabs are being passed out like M&Ms at this point. And we keep walking.
For you out there who do not know what a glucose tablet, it's literally, what would you say the size of? It's bigger than a sweet tart.
It's kind of like, it's the size of a quarter, but it's like thicker.
Yep. And it's just straight sugar.
Yeah.
So anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So I remember the camp counselors were like, well, you know what? Like, it's literally going to be too dangerous to walk back. Like, we don't have enough supplies. So we have to keep going forward.
Right.
And there was one of the camp counselors like ran ahead of all of us. And he was like, I mean, it looks like it's kind of bending around. Like maybe we should keep walking forward. So like someone's bright idea was to keep walking.
Right. And I totally remember that camp counselor's name. Well, his name.
So we keep walking. Right. And like all of us are kind of like, you know, like we're a little worried at this point, but we're like, whatever, they're going to take care of us. They're adults.
Right.
So I remember we walked through a creek. Do you remember that creek?
And what was his name? Was his name Sawyer?
Yes.
And he, like, he was so little, but he was like, I'll carry you across. And remember when he put Nathan on his back? And Nathan was, like, what, six foot? And he didn't want to get his Jordans wet.
Yeah. So
literally, little tiny Sawyer. I mean, seriously, this guy was, like, 5 foot at the time. He was a kid. Is carrying this giant-ass dude across the river.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, wow. I remember that. That was absolutely hilarious because I was standing there and, like, now our intuition would have been pinging. It would have been radiating, you know, like something is wrong. But all of us were just like, I don't know what's going on, but, like, they told us to walk through this creek, so we're going to walk through it.
Right.
So we walk through the creek, and then we just... Hello.
Dude, so sorry. Hung up on you. I don't even know what I did. Like, I barely touched the screen and it was like, bye. And I was like, okay. Sounds like something I do. So anyway, last part I think that I kind of got was like Nathan on Sawyer's back. And then you were standing there and you were like, what's happening? But like nobody wanted to argue.
Yeah. So we kept walking. And then I remember, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but one of the camp counselors just gave one of the kids the blood sugar kit and the whole entire like fanny pack. And towards the end, like, she wasn't even checking anybody's blood sugar. Was it you or was it someone else?
I don't know. Cause I, like, towards the end, I think someone was carrying me.
Yes, they were. So it was funny to me because, like, she just started passing out the glucose tap. She wasn't checking anybody's blood sugar at this point. She was just like, well, like, every. Survive or die kind of thing.
And that sounds so pathetic now, and we're like laughing because we're in our 20s, but like at the time it was seriously like we might die out here.
All
who are listening have to remember we were in Alaska, not in Wisconsin or Oklahoma. Alaska.
Right. So mind you, we're in the middle of the woods, we're walking up towards a mountain, like there is nothing around us, we don't see any hikers, and so everyone is just crying. We all just erupt in tears. We're thinking we're going to die.
Seriously.
So finally, like, someone finally decides, like, we're going to go back.
Right.
And that's when all of us started freaking out because we were like, we can't go back. Like, people's blood sugars were like 60, 50. And right. Then, like, 10 miles in.
Right.
It was terrifying.
We're just turn around. Like, how fucking ridiculous. Oh, I was pissed. I remember. I was, like, stomping around. Like.
Oh, I know. So. And I remember that because, like, on the way back, we had to cross over the creek again. And I have a great memory of you slinging off every curse word known to man as you're like hiking through this freaking creek, and you're like livid, and you're yelling, and you're screaming, and you're crying too. Like, we're all crying. And so we get back past the creek. Mind you, we're still miles and miles out. And then we walk by some hikers and we're like, we need food. And they were like, yes, we have these wasabi nuts.
They were wasabi peas. I still can't eat them.
Sure.
Literally still cannot eat wasabi peas because of that.
So, okay. So I remember we were like taking a break for a second and you like, you couldn't even stand anymore. Like you were like sitting down, like you couldn't walk. Your body was shutting down on you. So right. I have this awful, disgusting bag. Actually, you know, if there's that person listening out there, thank you for those wasabi peas. They didn't take anything, but thank you.
They have no carb and no sugar, but you did try to save a group of dying diabetics. So we like you.
Yes. Cool. We appreciate you. So I remember me force feeding you these disgusting wasabi peas by the pea. It wasn't by the handful. It was by the pee. Right. And you were like screaming and you were like yelling at me. You're like, stop force feeding me. And I was like, you have to eat it.
The thing was, they were spicy. So I kept spitting them out because like I was literally not able to walk. My blood sugar was so low. And I was like, and you're fucking making my mouth hurt. Like, stop. So horrible.
Yes.
Like, and those, they wouldn't have done anything. You would have shoved all those in my mouth and I would have died anyway. So really. Right.
Really, we're just making you miserable.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So we're like still walking back. So finally, you know, like we like get you up. People are giving each other piggyback rides. Like people are like, you know, we got like linked arms just trying to.
Dude, like, seriously, I think Sawyer carried me all the way back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was insane.
I remember. You were out there listening. I haven't forgotten you. Thank you for carrying me. 27. I hope your life's good. Thank you. Hope you're still carrying the ladies. I don't know what else to say.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Hopefully you grew.
Yeah.
If you didn't, though, maybe you're still getting ladies. I'm sorry. I'm, like, insulting him.
I know. He's,
like,
we still love you, Sawyer. Either way.
Yeah. Either way, we like you. So it's cool.
Yeah. So then the last thing that I remember we're hiking back. We're still miles away. You know, like, this, it's just awful. Everything is terrible. We see this helicopter up in the air.
Yeah.
And somebody says something to the effect of, wouldn't that be funny if that helicopter was looking for us?
Right.
And everybody erupted in laughter.
Right.
Because we were just like, oh my God, like, ha ha ha. Like, nobody knows we're gone. Nobody. And so I remember on our very last leg, we are pretty much on our deathbeds. And I see a nurse, one of the nurses, was it Linda maybe?
It had to have been Linda or Sue. It was one of them.
Okay. So I remember seeing this angel. She was an angel. She comes, like, running towards us.
Right.
With a big bag of marshmallows.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just remember thinking, oh my God, we survived this.
Right.
And so she kind of hiked in to find us. Like, she kind of, like, hiked in a couple miles.
Yeah.
Like, we still knew that, like, there was a little bit of hike ahead of us. But, right. So, like, passing around all these marshmallows. And as we finally, like, erupt out of the freaking jungle, there are, like, ambulances and cop cars and flashing lights. And every single person is holding juice boxes and chocolate and cookies. Every single person.
And I, at this point, I don't even really remember that because I was so low. Somebody was carrying me. So I remember sitting down and Linda, like, sitting next to me, but she was, like, hugging me and, like, holding me as I just, like, sucked down the juice. And I was like, thank you. You're just so nice. Like, I'm, like, bawling into Linda's. And it's so funny because I actually became really good friends with Linda's daughter in high school. So, and Linda was my doctor up until I moved from Alaska to Wisconsin. So, like, oh, I love her.
She's awesome. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they are pretty awesome. She's the one who saved my life that day with that juice.
Yeah. Dang. I still cannot believe that happened. And then after that, like, I mean, it was dark. Like, it was dark by the time we got back. We were gone hours and hours. I mean, we left in the afternoon, and it was, like, midnight or something by the time we got back.
Yeah.
And I remember them giving us, like, a bunch of food, and so we were all, like, hanging out together and, like, eating, like, the scraps left over from dinner.
Right.
And we were all – and, dude, I remember us talking about, so are you going to sue? Are your parents going to sue? No, we shouldn't sue. And so we're all sitting around like, no, I don't want to sue. I don't want to sue either. We're okay. We're fine.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly. I do remember that. And then we made that piece of crap cardboard, like, survivor, the hike of whatever year it was.
Yep.
Do you remember that? And then it had the tube of the glucose paste on it.
I could not forget it. Yes.
I wonder if it's still there. I should ask Anna. I don't know when she was last there, but I'll totally have to ask her.
I hope it's there, but imagine how many, like, questions, imagine how many flags that would have raised.
Right.
When people started inquiring about it.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was wild. I didn't hike for years after that. I refused.
I don't even know if I've been on a hike since that.
Well, it's funny because, like, I love hiking. And my friends would be like, let's go hiking. And I'm like, oh no, I actually had, like, a very near death experience. So let's.
Very traumatic experience once, so I'm good, thank you.
It was very traumatic. I love now that we can laugh about it, but
right,
oh, at that
time, was, it was not funny. It, like, the first, like, couple, like, the first two or three hours in, you know, we're all laughing like, oh, we're lost, like,
right.
And then, like, towards the end, I'm like, how old were we? 15 16?
Oh, were we? I thought we were younger than that.
I feel like the last year you could come was 16, but I think we decided to not come the last year.
Okay.
So I think we were 15.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know, though. It could have been 15. I don't know. I mean, we started going when we were 7, so.
Yeah, true.
But I just remember by the end of it, I was like, I don't care. I'm saying every cuss word in the book. Doesn't matter. I'm pissed. Like, this is the worst. I was so mad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I lost consciousness, and then it wasn't whatever. Who cared after that?
Crazy
time. I think it's so funny, though, because that tall guy that Sawyer took across the river or whatever, that was his first year at camp. And he had only been a diabetic for, like, what, 6-7 months before he came to camp?
Uh-huh.
Yep. And so that was his first and probably only experience of camp.
I remember us laughing about that, being like, just so you know, camp isn't usually like this. Like,
right.
Back again.
Yeah, right. And we didn't even go back. That's so sad. I'm so sad that we didn't go back that last year. But I, like I said, I went back a couple years later, and the cabins are, like, beautiful now. And they've got, like, these cool little, like, storage units above, like, ugh, whatever. It was a little spoiled brat. They don't even know.
Not bitter at all.
It was freezing when we went there. Oh, so funny. I wonder if it's even a thing still. It has to be.
Oh, yeah. Because it was the only diabetes camp that was ran in Alaska, at least to my knowledge. Like,
yeah, I think so too. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, and just so everybody out there who is listening, it is November, so it is Diabetes Awareness Month. So if you don't know anything about it, you should get online, do a little research, find out about your loved ones and if they have it and if they don't, and be respectful. Because out of all of the things that diabetics love, it's when somebody asks us if we ate too much sugar as a kid and that's why we're diabetic. I hope that you can all sense a sarcasm in my voice.
I had a friend that asked me, do you have the good diabetes or the bad diabetes?
It's like, thanks for that. Like, what?
Right. You know, I'm gonna level with people. Like, I get it if you don't understand, but I do think it's kind of interesting, because I don't know if you know this, but like, so out of type 1 diabetics make up 5% of diabetics as a whole. The 95 other percent are diabetics type 2, which means that was a modifiable risk factor. Like, could have prevented that, whereas like type 1s, like Jessica and I, we cannot prevent the diabetes that we have.
And it's unfair, you know. It's like, because they're both named the same thing, we're both put in the same. And I'm not saying that type 2 is bad at all. Like, I'm not saying if you have it, you're less than me, because you're not. You have a disease too. Like, it sucks. It's not a fun disease. It's just, it's frustrating that people like us who can't afford to live get to deal with it forever, and we don't get to prevent it, but yet it's grouped into a group that can prevent it, and it makes us look like we're people who can fix it, and we can't.
Right.
So yeah, I hate that. Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of the perks. But I don't know. Lately too, it's just like with our healthcare system, it's terrifying. I mean, for somebody that like doesn't work with a job with insurance, like, okay, so I'm doing air quotes right now because I'm saying medical emergency in air quotes because it wasn't really a medical emergency. But a couple weeks ago, I went up to see, my sister lives in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, so that's about 2.5 hours for me. So I went to go visit her, and of course I packed all my stuff. I always pack extra pump stuff because I'm like, just in case, you know?
Yep.
Well, of course, I grab a box of strips instead of a box of insulin. So I get all the way there and then realize that I don't have any insulin for my pump. So I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't want to drive 2 hours back to Janesville, which is where I live in Wisconsin, to then have to, you know, either drive back or just not go back, because I was so upset. So I called the pharmacy, and and this was like 30 minutes before the pharmacy was supposed to close. Like, seriously, it was like, so I had to have some nurse call, and then she finally transferred. But it was like terrifying, because I was like, cool, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to have to drive home tonight. Like, so anyway, I get there, and we're going through this whole process. And then the lady at the desk goes, okay, you owe me $328.
Yeah.
I'm like, bitch, I ain't giving you $328. Like, do you see how my hair is right now? That's because I'm poor. Like, what? So I was like, okay, well, will my insurance work here? Because my insurance is through, like, a outsourced insurance or whatever. So, like, it only works in certain areas that, like, it's called Mercy Care, but it's a provider that's only in some areas of Wisconsin. So she's like, well, we'll try it. But, like, it, you know, if it can't go through, it's going to be $300, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm not taking it. I'll run away from here before I take my shoe, bitch. You ain't making me pay $328. So it, luckily it went through, so it wasn't like the end of the world. So it was only $25, but it totally made me realize, like, holy crap, there are people out there who don't have insurance and are paying $328 a vial.
Yeah, I can't hear you as well. For some reason, your, like, volume went down.
What the fuck? Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Say something again.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, perfect.
All I did was move my iPad over, like, a little millimeter. So I have no idea, man.
Well, this is perfect. But anyways, yes, insulin is insane. So I didn't hear you. Did you end up having to pay that price?
No, I ended up having to pay $25. But that's what I was saying. It's just, it's so insane that I had to pay, you know, only $25. But there are people out there who don't have insurance who get to pay $328.
Yeah, man, my insulin is $1,000 a pop without insurance.
That's insanity. Yes.
Well, and it's crazy because stuff happens. The other day I was pulling a vial of insulin out of my fridge and it broke. And it's
what, really?
Yeah, the glass just hit it wrong on the tile and it just exploded. And I was like, oh,
that's kind of insane. I don't think I've ever had a bottle of insulin shatter on me.
That's the only time it's ever happened in my life.
That sucks. That's just not fair. That's $1,000 accident.
Exactly.
Accident. Like, yeah. Shit happened. Oh, it makes me so.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Actually, I went to the, so, like, on a separate note, it was funny because I went to the pharmacy the other day and they were like, okay, it's going to be like $150. Is that what you usually pay? I said, yep, charge it.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, nothing but a thing now. It's just one of those things that, like, we have to deal with.
Seriously.
And what's insane is, like, I don't know about your, I don't know the price of, like, all your pump supplies, but, you know, that's just insulin. The thing that people don't realize is that you have to pay for your insulin pump,
right,
which is thousands of dollars.
Right.
You have to pay for the pump supplies, right, and all of that is disposable. So you are buying new products every couple of months, and those are also hundreds of dollars, not to mention your trip.
You wear a sensor?
Yeah.
Okay, so for people out there who are listening who don't know what a sensor is, basically it's just a little machine like the pump that's connected to us, but it just checks our blood sugar for us, so we don't have to do it manually. Let me tell you, I just recently got a sensor probably 9 months ago, and I already owe the hospital $3,000 just in sensor supplies.
Ugh.
It's like ridiculous, but it's like, now that I have it, I don't want to get rid of it. It's such,
can't,
like,
out it,
it's such, like, it literally has dropped my A1C down to like 2 points since I started using the sensor.
Wow. What's your A1C right now?
It's at a 7.9, which is high.
That's okay. Mine's 7.6. It's okay.
But mine was at a 10.2. So
gotcha.
I have drastically changed my lifestyle and my, you know, but that's another thing that people don't understand about diabetics. It's like, it's not just, oh, we're so sad because we have to spend all this money. It's like, no, you don't get it. Like, every little thing I eat, I have to be aware that I'm putting it in my body. Like, and I'm not going to say I'm like the perfect eater. I'm not. Taco Bell probably knows my name by now. So like, I have the worst sweet tooth in the entire universe of this planet. Okay. So like, it's hard for me because I have to, like, you know, really pay attention. It's like, okay, I'm going to dose for 15 carbs, but if I have one little extra piece of chocolate because I'm being whatever, I get to pay for it. And it's like, people out there can eat a whole, you know, carton of ice cream and it's like, whatever.
Right. So, yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up because it's so true. A lot of people think diabetes is this, like, it's just this one size fits all kind of deal.
Right.
Jessica and I can tell you guys, like, first, like, that is not how it works at all. It's funny because, you know, a lot of times doctors will say for, like, the type 2 diabetics out there, like, all you need to do is diet and exercise. Mm-hmm. Well, for a type 1 diabetic, diet and exercise is the easy part.
Right.
That is literally the part that we've had down since we got diabetes.
Right. Like, you all know how to count carbs. Food on a plate, and I can tell you exactly how many carbs is in that plate of food.
Exactly. And so the part that's hard is, like, the daily living. The part that's hard is, like, going on hikes, making sure your blood sugar isn't too high, like, making sure you pack enough stuff.
Right.
About going to a buffet, or, like, God forbid, when you graze throughout the day on Thanksgiving.
Right.
About, like, vacation. There's so many times where, like, I'll eat a meal and then I'll go walk around downtown. And for someone that doesn't have diabetes, they might say, oh, well, that cancels each other out, doesn't it? Like, you eat food, then you exercise, it cancels the two out. No, it complicates the crap out of everything.
Right, exactly. Because it's like, we take insulin for the food, but for all we know, we dose strong and now we're low.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to go find a soda somewhere. And oh, look, we're in a place that has no soda. Now we feel like crap for the next half hour while we're searching for a soda.
Yeah. Exactly. This is it's so frustrating. And I mean, there's been so many times where, like, I'll be walking downtown with someone and we will have to go find, like, the next bar so I can just get in and get a freaking Sprite.
Right. I totally feel that. And you know, the frustrating thing too is, like, people who have never experienced a high or a low, or have experienced, like, having a low that's so bad that you've ended up in the emergency room, or even, like, having a high blood sugar at night, so where, like, you just feel high so you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And you wake up in the morning for your job and you're so exhausted because you were up all night with a high blood sugar. It's like, when people can't see what's wrong with you, they don't believe anything's wrong with you. And so, like, I thank God that I have the boss that I have and the friends that I have in my life, because they all understand that this is my life. And, like, you know, I'll wake up with a migraine in the morning and a low blood sugar and I can't come into work. I'm sick. Like, and it's frustrating, you know, because it's like, some people out there, you know, who are diabetic don't ever get those crazy symptoms, aren't sick all the time or whatever. But then there are the diabetics who are like me, who, you know, every couple weeks I'm sick with something. And it's like, it's not my fault. I have an autoimmune disease, you know? It's like, oh, so crazy.
Well, and everyone has different rules. Everyone has different things that happen to them. And so it's really unfortunate. I know that one of my patients actually, she was talking about how when she has a low blood sugar, she's out of commission for the rest of the day.
Right.
She's done. Crazy. She's in bed.
Ugh.
And it's, you know, it's just such a shame. And, like, sometimes these lows happen to people every single day.
Right.
Sometimes it can happen, you know, sometimes I have, like, 3 or 4 lows in one day. I mean, it just depends. It just depends on what's going on. And everybody is different. So I know, like, so black coffee has no carbs in it whatsoever.
Right.
For the typical diabetic, which, mind you, I said typical, so you know that there is no typical diabetic.
Right.
That will not shoot up your blood sugar. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, it shoots her blood sugar up through the roof.
What? Is it maybe the caffeine?
I have no idea. This other gentleman that I know, when he exercises, his blood sugar goes higher instead of lower.
What? That's cool, though. Must be nice. God.
I know, right?
Like, but I almost kind of feel like that would be shit, because then I wouldn't have an excuse all the time to be like, oh, I can't work out, I'm gonna get low.
Oh yeah, exactly. You know. Yeah, no. So but I love that you bring that up, because my point is the same. It's like, it's not a one size fits all, and there's so many different things that you have to worry about. So please, like, never look at someone who's a diabetic, especially a type 1 diabetic, and just assume that everything is easy because they have a pump and they have insulin.
Right.
Carb counting. That is the bare minimum. That is the easiest part of all of it.
Right. The easiest part. And it's like, especially somebody with a pump too, because it's like, you know, even with our parents, like, I mean, our parents, when we were kids, you know, they were paying for diabetic supplies in the 90s. We're paying for diabetic supplies in the 2000s. And let me tell you, like, I did, like, price checks on, like, needles and then to pump supplies from now. And, like, we you and I, our generation is paying thousands more than our parents had to pay. And like, I'm not trying to like downplay what my dad paid, because at the time that was his expensive. That was our expensive now, you know. It's just crazy because, you know, I talk to him about this stuff all the time, and he doesn't understand that, you know, minimum wage hasn't really moved much since the 90s.
No,
you know, for him, it was a struggle, but like for me, it's sometimes I'm drowning, you know, and it's like people don't, you know, they look at the pump and they think, oh, like, oh, your life's so much easier now because you have that. And it's like, okay, maybe a little bit for the diabetes, but like for my sanity and for like my financial and all that, completely opposite. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's people are dying to stay alive in this country, and it's sad. Like, you hear all the, you know, stories about the college students who don't want to call home to mom and dad to ask for them to pay for their insulin, so they just ration it and then they die.
Mm-hmm.
They think that's the smart way, and it's just, it's so incredibly sad. But even college students, you know, who don't have mom and dad to call, what do they do? You know, who do they go to? And it sucks. It's, you know, big pharma is making thousands and thousands and millions of dollars off of people who are dying because they can't afford what they need to stay alive. And it's just such a really sad thing in our country. And I hope one day you and I will get to see the light a little bit and be able to live a little less expensive. But
yeah, I hope so too. I don't think anybody should have to die because they can't afford their insulin. That's not right.
Right. And even the thing is too, now it's like we say insulin, but I feel like we should say, because we have diabetes, we should be able to afford every single supply we have to buy. Because after a while, people are going to keep saying insulin, insulin, insulin. And yes, insulin prices will drop. They did here in Wisconsin. So they made a law this year that in Wisconsin, a copay cannot be more than $25 for insulin. Wow. But most insurance companies only, you know, let you have a certain amount of vials or a certain brand of insulin. And like for me, I can't use Novolog. I'm allergic to it. Mm. And insurance company would not give me Humalog. It took me weeks to get verified for Humalog. And then, you know, once I finally did, they'd only give me two vials. Well, I use almost six vials of insulin a month now. Like, I use quite a bit of insulin. And so it was a really, you know, tough thing for me before this law was passed. And I just totally lost my train of thought. I was like totally into that, and I was like ready.
No,
I could totally like re-listen to what we said, but I'm not gonna, and I'm not gonna delete any of this because this is who I am as a human.
Yes,
but
I think you're right. The point of not being able to afford insulin, and I'm glad they have that copay now. That's made such a big difference. And you know, it's sad. I know doctors that will prescribe like extra units of insulin.
Right.
Just to get people past their month, because insulin is not like, it's not like a typical pill. A right. typical pill you will take, well, let's just say once a day for 30 days, you know, right. that's the time frame. And then after right. your 30 days is up, you go and you get another bottle of pills for another 30 days.
Exactly. Well,
we don't have that. We don't use a certain amount of insulin a day. You know, you have no idea what you're going to be eating tomorrow, the next day, a week from now.
Right.
So that's the frustration around it. And a lot of doctors will just, they'll start prescribing and saying that this patient needs a little bit more insulin just so we can get past the freaking month, because I have been there too. I have literally gone like keto, no carbs whatsoever for like, I think I did it like 2 or 3 weeks because I did not have enough insulin to reach me to the next month. And I thought that was crap.
It's terrifying too, because, you know, I like thinking about the long run and what happens if there is some sort of catastrophe. I mean, it happens all the time, anytime. Like, all of a sudden, there could just be an earthquake, and I could be trapped in my home for 4 weeks. Like, and it's so frustrating, because it's like, why can I, as a diabetic, not have just a little bit of a reserve
mm-hmm.
to have on the side in case an emergency happens? Because it could.
Oh, yeah. And
that's like, you know, thinking like, a little bit crazy, but it's true. I mean, it's, you know, you get to keep bottled water and all that other kind of stuff in your house, but me as a diabetic, I can't have the one thing I'm gonna need to live if there's something wrong and I can't get to my insulin. Like,
oh, we're done for. Like, exactly. Next election, baby, when there's an apocalypse that happens, you and I are out first.
Yeah, dude. And I've even, like, had this discussion with my dad. I'm like, Dad, don't even, like, worry about me. Because, like, my dad's still in Alaska. But I've told him, I'm like, Dad, let's get real here. Even if I did, like, make it out of whatever crazy shit's happening, I got, what, 3 months? If that. So, like, don't worry about me. Just, you know. I feel like if I knew there was going to be a apocalypse happen, like, I'd just do something really crazy because I knew I was going to die anyway, so.
Yeah. No worries.
But what I was saying before, I remember, it came back to me. So I was talking about how, like, when they're lowering the cost for insulin now, it's $25 here, but they're not lowering the cost for the things that get the insulin in our bodies. So it's like, you know, I'm paying $25 for insulin now, but I'm still paying $899 with insurance for the supplies to connect to my pump, to connect to my body, to get it inside of me. And it's just, that's not set up out enough. And I feel like
back up a couple sentences. I didn't catch any of that.
God dang it. Okay, what did you hear last?
So you were talking about how the insulin prices are cheaper, but not the means to get the insulin inside of our body.
Yeah. So basically just what I'm saying is, you know, I feel like when people talk about diabetics dying because they can't afford their insulin, what they should really be saying is they can't afford what they need to stay alive. Because, yeah, you can have the insulin, great, but if you can't afford the needles and the pump supplies or whatever you do to get your insulin inside of you, that insulin's not going to do anything for you. Can't drink it.
Right.
So it's just, I just wish there was this less stigma on it, and there was more of a, hey, this is actually like a crisis that's happening and nobody is talking about it except for the people who have it. It's crazy.
Yeah,
but you know,
absolutely,
you and I will live because we have for this many years, right?
That's right.
So what's after Oklahoma? Are you staying there for good now? Is that like home? Or,
you know, I think it's home for right now.
Nice.
I've learned something about myself, that it's really hard for me to stay in one spot for a very long time, but I'm trying to get into the real estate game right now.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, you should definitely get a hold of my dad then, because you know that's what he does for a living, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, like, I forgot about that.
Yeah, dude, I'll totally give him your contact info, because he would like totally talk your ear off. He loves that crap.
Oh, that would be great. Oh. I need a mentor.
Yeah.
Hook a girl up.
Yeah. Right. Well, anyway, it's been nice chatting with you. But
yeah, this has been like, great. It's
been like an hour and some minutes. Like, I felt like that went by so quick. I miss talking to you. Like, it's so crazy. We just haven't talked in so long that I just want to talk to you all night now.
Oh, we should make this a thing.
Yeah, we should definitely make this a thing. Like, we should talk once a year, you know, maybe talk every like couple weeks, you know.
That would be nice.
Yeah, like I always like tell people when I'm like explaining you to people, because I still talk about you to people even though we don't like talk, you know, as often as I'd like.
Oh, I but do too. Really, you always come up in my stories.
Victoria is like one of those people that I couldn't talk to her on the phone for 10 years, and then I call her up and it's like we talked yesterday. Like,
yep.
You will literally be at my wedding someday, even if you never meet the human I eventually meet, you know. Like, you'll be there, because I just know, like, that's our friendship. So it's totally cool to talk to you, and I'm so happy that you said you'd do the podcast. I hope that the episode goes good, and I'll let you know. So Courtney's episode is going to be posted tomorrow, so your episode will be posted next Thursday.
Okay, perfect.
But I'll let you know when it's posted, and then for everybody out there who's listening, we do have an Instagram, a Twitter, and a Facebook page. You can find it by searching Flavor by Jessica, and then we do have an email as well. It's flavorbyjessica@outlook.com, all lowercase. Some of your questions, comments, concerns, your stories, I'd love to interview you. So if I don't know you, you're a stranger, just hit me up, we can talk. But until then, I will talk to you soon, Victoria.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Heck yeah. Bye, girly.
Bye.